Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. Quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here. We are wrapping up our spring storyline series, things you should be watching for as spring practice unfolds, as we start to build up towards the blue-white game next month. The position we're looking at today is offensive tackle, where they are replacing one starter. They are trying to build out some depth, I think. Again, rebuild some depth at that position. So we'll look at all the different ins and outs, what you should be watching for this spring. And I think that conversation has to begin at right tackle. Losing Ryan Bates is something that hurts. You know, he had eligibility on the table. Obviously losing Connor McGovern as well. You have a couple big holes to fill on the right side. And I think, Rashid Walker is a good starting point. Still just a redshirt freshman, very talented player. You know, what you're looking for this spring is some kind of indication. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to get any resolution on really any starting job this spring, mainly because James Franklin will not allow there to be resolution
right.
on any of these things, won't talk about it in those terms. But is Rashid Walker ready for prime time is one of the big issues, not just on the offensive line, not just at right tackle, but one of the big issues, one of the big stories for the whole team.
Yeah, I mean, there's two parts of me that conflict when it comes to Rashid Walker, Dustin. The first one is he looks the part. He was recruited to be this kind of guy, and there's no indication that his development has failed in any way, shape, or form to make us think that he's not going to be able to be the guy. So I guess the only question I have is, are we anointing him this likely starting tackle before he actually wins that job? And are we overlooking Anthony Wiggin, who is a guy that, you know, clearly came in to Penn State as a junior college player and wants to, you know, obviously wants to fight for the job. I don't think he would have came to Penn State to fight for the job if he didn't think he could win it. So that's where I'm at this point. Too much credit to Walker, maybe, maybe not. Maybe not enough credit for Wiggin. Maybe you are giving him the right amount of credit. I'm not sure yet, but that's the big question here as we start spring practice.
Maybe you used the word maybe too much, maybe, in the previous sentence, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, so I don't know, you know, like in my head, and maybe my words have conveyed something different, I guess, but in my head, I've not anointed either one of these guys. To me, the focus is more one of these guys is going to have to probably play a bigger role than you want earlier than they should. James Franklin has mentioned a whole bunch of times that he's looking at maybe a third year on campus for an offensive lineman before he thinks that they're ready for it. So the question is, you know, how exceptional are either or both of these guys?
Right.
Is Rashid Walker the special kind of talent that can be a three-year starter at right tackle and do it without many hiccups? So that is the thing. I do believe yes, but I also think that Anthony Wiggin is a pretty impressive athlete too. Can he make the quick transition as a junior college guy with all the stuff that comes with that? You know, junior college is mostly a good thing when it comes to development, but you can also have guys who play well in junior college but still have just as much developing to do as they would have as a high school senior too.
Right.
So Wiggin, 6'4", 297, very good athlete. Rashid Walker, also a very good athlete. I think it's going to be a really good competition. I think that both of these guys can be better for it.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think this goes back to the whole, what was the Craig Fitzgerald term? Iron sharpens iron. I think some of Penn State's coaches have used that as well. And clearly, when it's better to have a competition than to not have a competition. I don't think I'm surprising anyone by saying that. That's not top level analysis by any stretch of the imagination. But, I mean, let's be honest. Penn State's offensive line has had air quote competition the last couple of years, but you knew who the starters were going to be for the most part. There was no secret. There was no. I mean, Will Fries, Chaz Wright, I guess, was in that conversation. But here's what can't happen and happened with that battle is that one of those guys didn't step up and take the job and win it outright. So they were rotating them and doing all this other stuff. That doesn't work. I think it's quite clear that that doesn't work. So they need one of these guys to step up and really, truly win this job. It's weird. You look at the right tackle depth chart from the Citrus Bowl. I think it has to be pretty rare for a team to have its entire right tackle 3D wiped out. But that's what happened. Bates went to the NFL. Chaz Wright graduated and is going to try and go to the NFL. And Alex Gellerstedt transferred to Virginia, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. I mean, you look at the left tackle depth chart for the Citrus Bowl. It was Will Fries, and then it was Bates gone, Gellerstedt gone. So Penn State got some things they need to iron out there for sure.
Well, I mean, which leads to a bigger question about does Penn State have enough in terms of both quality and quantity, specifically at offensive tackle? This is a weird junction, I think, in Penn State along their offensive line. I think they've got bodies, but there's a lot of players that we just don't know nearly enough about. And I think coaches don't know nearly enough about them yet either to say one way or another whether they can be relied upon. But the reality is, they're going to have to rely upon guys that in previous years they wish they wouldn't have had to rely upon.
Yeah.
It's not a negative thing about the player themselves, but ideally you wouldn't need either a redshirt freshman or JUCO recruit to play in this season right now.
Yeah.
That's just a fact.
Yeah, it is. And it is kind of – well, I mean, Wiggins a little bit older. Like, it's sometimes hard for me mentally to separate him from the rest of the class of 2019 because you just assume all those guys are freshmen because Penn State hasn't gone down this road often. But the fact that he has played at a college level, not the college level he's about to play at, but at the college level helps for sure. But, you know, a few years ago it was, and even recently, a year or 2 years ago, it was, the further away from the ball, yada, 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 you play quicker, all that stuff. And now Penn State's going to be asking some guys that, while one's more of a veteran than the other one, they're both still fairly young in terms of experience with the Penn State football program. So that is a big transition for sure. Do I think that it's something that they can't overcome? No. And more to the point, do other programs around the country get their four-star offensive tackle recruits on the field in year two, year three? Absolutely,
yes, they do.
And for Penn State to get to that point, and I know James Franklin's proud of the fact that, let me pull it up quick just to make sure I don't misquote him, but there's six teams that in the last 3 years have finished in the top 15 of the college football playoffs, and he obviously rattled them off. You can imagine who they are. And then he said, obviously, it's a pretty good group to be associated with. The difference between most of that group, which is Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Washington, Oklahoma, and Penn State, difference between those schools, which all except for Washington have made a college football playoff appearance, and Penn State. Did Washington make one? I don't think they did.
They did.
Okay, so
they did, yeah.
So all five of them, except for Penn State, have made a college football playoff appearance. And one of the biggest differences is those schools have had offensive and defensive linemen that can take over games and dominate. Penn State has had that in spurts in certain games, but never, for a full season. Now, I know we're getting a little bit off topic here, but Etor Gross-Matos looks like that guy on the defensive line. Penn State has some offensive linemen, including Rashid Walker, that could step up and get to that point. They need him to actually do it, though.
I think who do you think the guy on the offensive line, while we're still going down this road, is the most likely in 2019? I'm not talking about 2020 or 2021. Or who's the guy on the Penn State offensive line who's most likely to reach that point now?
Oh, good question. Well, I mean, at this point,
to me, I don't think it's a question. I think it's Michael Mennett.
Honest to God, I really did like some of the things that I saw from Will Fries last year, and it makes me think that if he puts it all together, which is expanded reps, because he's not going to be rotating anymore. Not that he rotated as much as the season went on, but expanded reps and taking over and dominating his position. If he can do that, I think he could be that guy too. I don't think that's too much to ask of him. But again, I think Penn State fans and people that follow this team are maybe a little bit jaded by the fact that there have been many spring conversations in the James Franklin era about this being the team, this being the position group that finally takes a big step forward, yada, yada, yada. And again, you can do it against You can do it against the Rutgers and the Marylands and the Purdues and even the Iowas of the Big Ten. But until you do it against Michigan State, Michigan, and Ohio State, it doesn't really make a difference.
We're talking spring football here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, looking at the offensive tackle positions. Less than a month away from the blue-white game, if you weren't able to win the free RV for the game from GoPSURV.com, they still have a great deal for you, starting at just $350 for a group of four. You can arrive Friday, stay through Sunday for blue-white weekend. There's a free 409 tailgate club meal, and there's a free shuttle to and from Beaver Stadium for the game. It's the ultimate tailgate experience for 48-plus hours. You can contact Mark today for more details, 1-800-519-8467, or you can visit GoPSURV.com for more information there. One thing I wanted to ask you, Greg, in the spirit of this is, Alex Gellerstedt choosing to transfer now when the depth chart seems to be wide open from a public perspective. I think people have connected the dots on these and seem ready to conclude that Rashid Walker was emerging behind the scenes and that Alex Gellerstedt saw the writing on the wall and wanted a fresh start someplace else. There might be some truth to that. Do you think that there is?
Yes, I do. I mean, I don't know of any other way to look at it, honestly. I mean, I do think that for a guy to be seemingly in position to fight for a starting job to up and leave, he either was really unhappy with Penn State, really hated living in State College, or just knew that he was probably going to get passed over during spring practice. Now, that's not to say that Virginia guaranteed him a starting spot or anything like that, but there's no other way for me to look at it, I don't think, besides that way.
And then I think the last thing, and you touched on it a little bit, but can Will Fries be maybe an all Big Ten team, maybe not a first team, maybe a first team, can he be that kind of player for Penn State's offensive line, and how much does Penn State need him to be that guy?
Well, I think he can be. It goes back to there's always a can. It seems like we're always talking about that, these guys in that regard. But will they be that kind of unit? And will, not just in the individual sense, but in the general sense, will this be that they have a I don't want to say weak, but I don't know what other word to use to describe the opening four games of the season. Yeah. I know they have Pittsburgh. Obviously, that's always an emotional game. I know they have to go to Friday night Maryland, which will be an interesting crowd, but Penn State will be favored by no less than, I would say, a touchdown in every one of those games. Well, I don't know. We'll see what the oddsmakers do with the offense. But can this group take over early and then that give them the confidence to roll through the better teams on the schedule late? That'll be the ultimate answer at tackle, guard, and center in 2019.
These are not the last questions that you'll be asked, Greg. We have one more segment to go here on the show. Ask Greg is coming up after this. They're not my questions. They're questions from you guys on Penn State football and recruiting. Stick around to hear his answers.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSURV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.